In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel last weekend, we heard our Lord teach the commandments of the New Covenant, which were not a contradiction of the commandments of the covenant which God made with the children of Israel on Mount Sinai, but rather they are its perfection. Our Lord deepened the commandments, so that they were no longer external, but also internal. Not a merely a matter of external behavior, but also of thought and feeling, of the mind and the heart. And in doing this, our Lord is calling us to a complete and holistic, for lack of a better word, holiness, a holiness of the whole person. Because this is really what following God's commandments is all about. Walking the path of holiness. Becoming of God. So that we may be remade into the new man in the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that we may be perfected in heaven and part of the new heaven and the new earth. Well, today our Lord continues to teach the commandments of the new covenant. But he doesn't just deepen them today, he broadens them so that they don't just deal with how we relate to members of our families or of our own community or even of our own faith, but how we relate to all peoples. And he does so with some of the hardest words in sacred scripture. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Now let's pause for a moment here. To us, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth can seem pretty harsh. That if you happen to blind a person, that you lose your eye. Or that if you happen to knock out deliberately or by accident someone's tooth, your own tooth gets knocked out. But in the ancient world, this was quite remarkable and merciful, considering what went before it. Because what went before it is, you know, someone blinds you in one eye, you take both of his. Someone knocks out one of your teeth, you knock out all of his. That is, if you don't kill him. And so this is God saying to the children of Israel, no, revenge or punishment has to be proportional to the injury that was incurred. But Jesus tells us something different. Offer no resistance to the one that is evil. Wow, that's hard, isn't it? It seems a little odd, doesn't it, that we just have to stand back and allow evil and injustice to occur. Is that what the Lord means? Well, as with any part of sacred scripture, we don't read it just in and of itself. We read it in connection with the totality of sacred scripture, and also through the lens of the teachings of the church. And so we know that, no, that is not what our Lord means by this. Our Lord is deliberately overstating his case so that we pay attention. Remember when our Lord said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out? Just about everyone I see here, probably everyone I see here has two eyes, right? If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Two hands. Our Lord did not intend us to maim ourselves. He was saying that to get his point across. And so, also, our Lord is saying this not to ask us to be pacifists or passive in the face of evil, but rather he's telling us not to seek revenge. Not to seek an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. That doesn't mean we can't stand up to evil, but we don't seek revenge. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This again was a remarkable thing when it was first said. Because you hated your enemy, whether he was your neighbor or not. But the law of Moses said that you had to treat your brothers with respect and love, whether you liked them or not. But that's not enough for the new covenant. Why is it not enough? Because it is not following the example of God himself. Does not God shower his blessings upon the good and the evil? Did not our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ die upon the cross even for those who were crucifying him? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And so our Lord tells us, love your enemies, do good to those who persecute you. Forgive your enemies. You know, just about everyone has something in the sacred scripture that they wish wasn't there, that if it wasn't there, their lives would be a lot easier. I know people personally who treat profanity as if it was an art form. Life would be so much easier for them if that pesky little thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain was left out. But it's not. My life would be easier if this love your enemies, do good to those who persecute you was left out. Because it's hard. It shouldn't surprise us that the commandments are hard. If they were easy, the Lord wouldn't have to tell us that we need to do it. But whether they're easy or hard, and they're hard, they're still correct. You know, we fallen human beings, we who are touched by original sin, when someone hurts us, we want to hurt them back. We want to hurt them back to the extent that they will never even think of hurting us again. So if someone punches you, you punch them hard enough to knock them into the next county, right? But does that undo the punch that you received? Does that make it go away? No. Evil does not erase evil. Forgiveness frees us. When we hold a grudge, we are still enslaved to the evil action that was done to us. Plus, forgiveness has some side benefits. I think it was Mark Twain who said, "Forgive your enemies, it will drive them crazy." And it is right. When you're nice to someone who has been mean to you, what's up with this? I know he's playing a game. I'm not sure what he's doing. And they keep waiting for the shoe to fall, and the shoe doesn't fall, and it drives them insane. And it's okay to have a little chuckle over that. You can get revenge by doing the right thing. And when we forgive someone, we stop giving them free rent in our minds and hearts. Now, it's not an easy thing, because usually we remember what was done to us again and again and again. And every time we do, we have to forgive again and again and again, because forgiveness is a process. It's an act of the will. It's not a feeling. And this was really brought home to me this last week, when I found out that our church shooter, Ricky Jennings, is getting a parole hearing. I didn't want to hear that. But it's part of Utah. Utah law is a little strange. Why not? It's Utah. It has to be strange. Doesn't mean he's going to be released. It means, you know, should we think about releasing him sometime in the future? Now, I'm going to write a letter to the parole board saying, I think he should never see the outside ever again. And we didn't have enough time to get it in the bulletin this week, but in the next week we'll have the information so that if you want to do that, you can do it too. But I had to really ask myself, was I seeking revenge? Did I want him to suffer because he had made my friends suffer, because he had desecrated my church? Because he had shown such reckless indifference to the safety and the well-being and even the existence of the many children that were around when that shooting occurred. Well, all the revenge in the world that I could do would not make that go away. I like to joke that if I had mafia ties, I would arrange for him to have an accident. And one of my friends said, "Father, you shouldn't say that." And I said, "Well, no, not like I would really do it. If someone asked me about it, I would say, but I wouldn't do it." Why wouldn't you do it? Because I wouldn't go to hell for someone I liked, let alone Ricky Jennings. But I'm still going to write for him and ask that they keep him in prison. Why? For the safety of all of the people who are not in prison. This is not his first offense. He's not got all cylinders firing. I do not believe that he would straighten up and fly right on the outside. That is a far cry from seeking revenge, rather than seeking justice, which is an entirely different thing. But it's still hard to forgive. It's hard to remind myself that I still need to pray for Ricky. Every time I think of him, I need to pray for him. Lord, couldn't you have just left that one part out? No, for my good and for yours. Holiness is hard work. And Jesus told us to expect it to be hard work. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow after me. That's hard, except for the fact that Jesus will give us more than enough help through his grace to do it, so that we can become like him, so that we can truly be adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that we may inherit the kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.